Desire y'all's prayers this morning. Have a little thought of encouragement for us this morning. What I wrote on the board is, do your best with your all. Now, sometimes it seems like if you think about life, you're going through life, things are happening, you feel like you're doing the best you can with what you've got, but sometimes you wonder, is that really enough? You feel like you're just barely getting anything done, no accomplishments. I was talking to a fellow at work the other day, and I made a comment about how I'd started the week, worked hard, really hard all week, felt like I'd got a lot done, and then looked at my to-do list, and it was longer at the end of the week than when I started. And sometimes you can look at that and think, well, am I making any progress? Am I going anywhere? So what I'd like for us to look at this morning is just some examples of folks that did the best with what they had. And remember that the Lord, He considers what you have. He knows everything you've got, time, money, resources, and He's willing to look at your circumstances, and He's not comparing us amongst ourselves the way we tend to do. I'd like to start off in Mark chapter 12, starting off in verse 41. Common story. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And now this story, we've heard it before. When we think about this little widow, she obviously was not wealthy, didn't seem to have a whole lot. And I'm going to just do a little supposition now. She gets up in the morning, and for some reason, her heart felt like giving to the Lord. And I think she probably looked around her house, looked at things, said, well, what can I give to the Lord? Well, not rich, don't have a whole lot of extras. And maybe she finds two little pennies in our world today. The smallest coin they had. In fact, actually, the coin that she put in, from what I've been able to read, it didn't even really have a set value. It was so small that it was used for not very much. But she sat there and she goes, I've got this. And what can I do with this? And like I said, this is just me doing some supposition in my head. And no doubt she started thinking, well, you know, these two things are small like seeds. And how do you make a seed become more? You go plant it. You go put it in the ground. And I'm wanting to do something for the Lord. Who makes the seeds grow? The Lord makes the seeds grow. So she heads on down. She goes, walks through town, heads into the temple. The layout of the temple, you had the outer court where everybody could go. Then you went into what they call the court of the women. That's also where the treasury was at. And in the treasury, there were 13 boxes, according to history, that had these trumpet-shaped funnels so when you put coins in, they would all go into the box, into the hole. There's been some reference in the past about how the rich, when they dumped in, there would be a lot of clanging noise going down that funnel. And the widow woman walks up there and tink, tink, cast these two little mites into that funnel. And in her mind, no doubt, she turned and went home. That's where the story ended for her. But we're talking about her story today, aren't we? Why are we talking about her story today? Because there was a man named Jesus sitting over there watching people put money into the treasury. But he was watching in a way that we as humans can never watch. He was watching the hearts. He had the understanding of what everybody had, what they were giving. And when he heard that tink, that first tink, I can just imagine saying, there went 50%. Tink, there went everything. Because isn't that how he responded when he called his disciples? Hey, fellas, did you just see that? Did you see how much that lady put in? She gave everything. Isn't that wonderful? Her two mites are still growing spiritually today. Every time her story is told. Why is her story being told? Because Jesus said she gave everything. I want this to be remembered. I want this woman to be an example. Why? Because she gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to the church. She gave tirelessly to of her time to charity. No. Because she took what she had, no matter how much it was, and she gave it her best. She said, how can I make these two little mites do the most for the Lord? I'll give it to the Lord and let Him put them to work. And aren't they working still today? Now, you know, it doesn't say she became wealthy. Sometimes we look at things and think, Lord, it would sure be nice if you could give me more of this. Give me more time, more resources. We don't hear anything where the Lord said, I'm going to bless her because of that. But what He did say is look at the example she left for everybody else to follow. Now, in our world today, if that was one of us, we might be thinking, Lord, I couldn't even do hard. I only could give you two pennies today. But if that's all you can give and you gave it with your heart willingly, the Lord recognizes that. And she did the best she could with everything she had, didn't she? I'd like to look at another story over in Acts. Acts chapter 10. Chapters 10, starting in verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, the angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, I wanted to read Cornelius' story here and just stop because I want us to focus on what happened with what Cornelius was doing. He was a Roman, a centurion. From what we can tell, he was most likely born in Italy. He was a Gentile. But somehow he had known the Lord. Somehow his heart had made contact to God. It said that he prayed to God always. And he gave alms. And he obviously knew the voice of the Lord because it said when the angel asked him, he said, What is it, Lord? He had a concern. Okay, something's I'm having another contact with my master, with my Lord. But what was the message? Was it a message of fear? No, it said, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for memorial before God. How many of us have ever traveled to, say, like Washington, D.C., and walked around the town looking at all the buildings that are put up as memorials, the statues, the monuments? They're all over that town. They're memorials. Do we realize that Cornelius's prayers and his acts of charity, the Lord viewed that as a memorial, something that I'm seeing what you're doing. And it's come up before me as a beautiful statue, a beautiful building that represents something. Do we have any record of what Cornelius actually did? No. We don't know how big his gifts were. We don't know how small they may have been. What we do know is he was doing what he could with what he had. He was apparently being consistent and faithful with his efforts to the Lord. You know, even around in our area, a lot of times if you see a public park and you go into the park, sooner or later you'll see a little plaque memorializing either a person who donated money to form the park, or sometimes the parks are set up to memorialize someone. Have we ever considered that what we do for the Lord, he tends to look at as a memorial to his son, to the things that he's taught? And Cornelius was rewarded. Why? Because he did his best with his all. He said, Lord, I'm just a Gentile, and I'm going to make sure that I can do my best with everything you give me. I want to look at another couple of verses now over in Revelations. Revelations chapter 8. It's going to be verses 3 and 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Now, how would you like to have your prayers mixed with incense and going up before the Lord? Now, looking at this, this was, says, the prayers of the saints. You know, I have no doubt the other prayers go up before the Lord. But being mixed with that incense is going to give the prayers of the saints a little special smell. When those prayers come up, the Lord's going to be like, ah, yes. I recognize that scent. These are the prayers of the saints. Do you think that he wanted that incense added to those prayers just so he would know a prayer came up? Or do you think he wanted it added to the prayer so it would draw his attention to them? So that he would say, ah, that's a prayer of the saints. Let me look at this one a little closer. Let me pay special attention to it. Let me draw into it. Are we living so our prayers, when they go up before the Lord, are mixed with that incense? That we're doing what we can for the Lord, no matter how big, no matter how small. I've heard the women folk sometimes talking about the cares of life around the house and how it can seem never ending. The children's attention, everything going on. Do you know that's a work? A huge work. Sometimes it may not seem like much. The world today tends to almost discount what goes on in a home. But that's a huge work, and sometimes we need to be encouraged. What are you doing? Are you've given it your all? If you are, even though you may be tired, you may just feel wore down, guess what? The Lord knows. He sees. You know, sometimes we want to do the big things for the Lord, but this woman's two mites wasn't a big thing, was it? So, kind of looking back to the widow woman, what item has more value if you look at it? Two mites or two pennies in our world today, or giving of all that you have? You know, sometimes the way we look at things can cause us to misconstrue the value. If we look at it, well, it's just two pennies. I wasn't able to give the Lord very much. It's just two pennies. We miss the true value of what she gave the Lord. And Jesus called it out. Yes, she only gave two pennies, but it was 100% of what she had. So if you're giving to the Lord 100% of what you have, even if you feel like it's just two almost worthless coins, the Lord looks at that and he says, I see. You've given me everything. Thank you. Thank you. What about David? David going to Goliath, a sling and five stones. No armor for a defense. He didn't have a shield. It said Goliath had another man carrying his shield out in front. A shield so big, I guess another person had to carry it in front. David did the best he could with what he had. Now, did he need all five stones? No. We heard a message from Brother Marty talking about, you know, the fact that he picked up five stones showed that David had intent. He had purpose. If the first stone, for some reason, didn't land, he was ready to continue giving it his all. He'd picked up enough stones to keep trying. He only needed the one. What about the widow woman with Elijah in a time of drought? Elijah's sent to this widow woman's house. He goes into town. He sees this woman picking up sticks. He walks up to her and he says, you know, the Lord has sent me to stay at your house, and I'm here at his request, and I want you to give me some water and give me something to eat. And what was the widow woman's response? Well, you know, I'm down to my last bit of flour, my last bit of oil, and I was actually picking these sticks up here. You found me picking up because I'm about to cook that, and then me and my son, we're going to die. And the prophet said, okay, but make me a cake first. Because if you'll do that, the flour won't run out. The oil won't run out. The Lord's going to bless you. Now, how do you think she made the cake? Do you think she went in there and carefully divided the flour up into three little thirds now because of the prophet? Said, well, I'm going to go ahead and make his little third. And maybe carefully divide the oil up, and or do you think maybe she said, you know what? He said, make a cake. And he said the oil wouldn't fail. When do you start walking on faith? With what little bit you have? I could see her contemplating that as she's about to make the cake. Decision time. What do I do? Now, once again, this is my supposition, but I think she got to thinking about what the prophet said, so you know what? I'm going to make the prophet a cake. I'm going to lean onto the Lord. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have any more flour. I don't have any more oil. But the prophet said that if I'd make him a cake first, God would provide. So she made a cake. And then I think she peeked back in the cruise. Hey, there's oil in here. Peeked back at the flour. Hey, there's still flour. And that lasted till the rains came again. But how much did she have to work with? Did the Lord send the prophet to a person with bags of grain stacked up and jars of oil standing by? No. The Lord looked at that little widow woman with the little bit she had and said, you know what? I know that woman. I know that woman. She's one of mine. I can trust her to do the best with what she has. Prophet, let me send you to the person that can help you survive this. Maybe not what we would choose, but God sees and he knows who will give him everything, who will do the best they can with what they have. If I mention five loaves and two fishes, what comes to everyone's mind? Story of a little boy and a crowd of people, right? Five loaves, two fishes. Now this time, five loaves and two fishes to a little boy, that seemed like a big lunch. I don't know about you, but as a small child, I'd have been thinking five loaves and two fishes, I'm going to eat pretty good today. The grown men, how'd they view it? Did they see what that small boy saw? No. They looked at it and, well, Lord, this boy brought us his lunch. He thinks it's pretty big, but it's just five loaves and two fishes. And how'd Jesus respond to that? Did he look at it and say, well, we appreciate your effort, son, but there's no way this is going to feed the crowd. You go ahead and eat your lunch. We'll figure out something else for these people. Is that how the Lord responded to what the boy brought? No. What did the Lord see? Once again, the Lord saw a person bringing everything they had. Everything they had. Lord, here it is. I'm willing to share it with everybody. Thousands of people. It'll feed them. Does your brain bring that in? Or would it require faith to get there? Jesus started working with those loaves and fishes. How many people went hungry out of the crowd? How many baskets of food did they pick back up? I mean, not only did it turn out to be that it was more than, you realize it was more than enough for the crowd? Why? Because it was given willingly, it was given wholly for God to work with. And because God could work with it, just like the little two mites of the woman, we don't know what the Jewish treasury actually spent those two mites on, but it's in the Word of God for us today. He took those two mites and said, you know what? There's going to be a memorial here. Just like the memorial for the alms that Cornelius had been doing. The woman with the expensive alabaster box of ointment, close to Jesus' time to be crucified, she comes in, she pours it on his head. What was the reaction to the people around her? Lord, she just wasted that. She poured that ointment all over you. We could have sold that, had plenty of money to go feed the poor. Makes logical sense, doesn't it? But instead, how did Jesus respond? He responded, this wasn't a waste. You all don't understand. You all aren't seeing the big picture. You're looking at how many people you can go feed with what little bit of money you can get from this. She's looking at my death and burial and the salvation of the whole world. And she anointed me for that. And in fact, and Jesus said, and because she did that, I'm going to make sure this memorial of what she did is brought up every time this story is told. Once again, a woman brought and said, I'm going to give it all. I feel, Lord, that this is what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it all. And Jesus' response, once again, is, I'll take it. I'll take it and I will grow it. I will work it. I will put it years down the road where people will recognize what you've done with the little bit you had. I was challenged with the thought. If we were asked to give that widow woman with her two mites financial advice today, what to do with those two mites, what financial advice would we give her? Have you ever considered that? If somebody came up and said, I got two pennies, I feel like giving them to the Lord, and you know it's all they have. What advice would we give a person in that spot? Would we step back and say, okay, Lord, she's leaning into you. She's trusting you. Or would we sometimes allow our human logic to get ahead of ourselves, where we start thinking about human necessities? You know, sometimes the best faith is a simple, trusting faith in God. You know, He knows our circumstances we're in today, and do you know He also knows what we're going to face tomorrow? He knows that. If you're giving Him your all today, He knows that. He'll be able to provide for your tomorrow. There's a verse, Luke 12:31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'd like to just challenge us this morning. Be encouraged. If you've been doing the best you can with you all, with your all, even if you feel like it's never enough, just remember the Lord isn't worried about how much you give, as did you do the best you can with what He's given you. Did you handle it, even if it's just the littlest little piece of your day that you have to give somebody, the rest of your day, and you know, your mothers especially, you know, I grew up in a family of four kids, and I know my mom sometimes at the end of the day, she kind of looked wore out. Just, I guess four kids can do that to a parent. But you know what? If all she could do sometimes was just write a letter to someone, send a card. Do you know there were people sometimes they would respond back to her about that card meant so much to them? Out of her whole busy day, she took what? 3 to 5 minutes to write a card, find an envelope, put it in the mail. But those had lasting effects on people. God sees what we're doing. He knows how busy our days are. He knows how little we seem to have to give Him. But if we're willing to take the little we have and give it to Him, He will bless it. He will grow it. Y'all pray for me.